Sports Interview with Allegory is brought to you by the Travelers Championship. Now is the time. This is the place. June 24th through the 28th at TPC River Highlands. Visit TravelersChampionship.com for information. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice-filled technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. And by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. Welcome back to Talking Golf with Anne Liguori. And as you regular listeners know, I enjoy talking with personalities from the worlds of Hollywood, music, and sports about their success stories and their passion for golf. Joining me now is Ed Burns, actor, producer, director, writer, editor, New York's own Ed Burns. And Ed is best known for his independent film, The Brothers McMullen, which achieved worldwide success. He also did Sidewalks of New York, Ash Wednesday. He appeared in films such as Saving Private Ryan, The Holiday, 27 Dresses, to name a few. Ed's latest independent film is Finnegan's Foursome, his first film shot and produced abroad. The comedy follows two competitive Irish-American brothers and their children as they travel to Ireland after the death of their father, a well-known professional golfer, to scatter his ashes and continue the family's long-running golf tournament in his honor. Now, the film holds special meaning for me because many of its most memorable scenes were filmed at spectacular Carn Golf Links in Balmallet, Ireland, in County Mayo, where I am a proud member and serve as president of the International Members Association. Welcome to Talking Golf, Ed Burns.
And thank you so much for having me. And I just have one question out of the gate. Did we do justice to Carn as far as showcasing the beauty that is that unbelievably magnificent course?
Oh my gosh, the cinematography was spectacular, and you got it on some gorgeous days too. So, and there were some great shots there, by the way, too. So all those questions, did you have to wait for a gorgeous day, or tell me a little bit of the history behind the weather there?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, like when you're playing golf, you talk about the golf gods all the time, right? How periodically they help you out, but most of the times they don't give you that break. It's the same is true when you're making a film. You know, we always talk about the movie gods, and it's usually applied to the weather. For some reason, and you know the weather out there in County Mayo, you can get, and I know it's a cliche, but all four seasons can show up in one day. We were out there to shoot that entire sequence. I think we were there for a week, 5 days of shooting. And you've been there enough to know that you don't get four or five blue sky days in a row. We did.
Oh, like, man.
It was, and then, you know, we had our fifth day. We had to, you know, and again, you're shooting a single round of golf over the course of 4 days. So you want, from a continuity standpoint, that weather to look fairly consistent. But the morning of the fifth day, it was one of those. The rain was whipping left to right through the air. There was no way any of it was going to match. So we started to think of what else can we shoot? Maybe we'll just shoot some insert shots of gloves and hands and, you know, tight shots of putts rolling in. And no sooner do we set up for the first shot, the clouds break, the sun comes out, we get a fifth day of sun, and we finish strong. So we got lucky.
I love it. The golf gods were good to you. And, you know, I've been to Ireland, throughout the country of Ireland and Northern Ireland, where there was sunshine for 4 or 5 straight weeks. I mean, a couple of summers ago, there was a drought there. And that was so unusual, as you know, because you do get 4 or 5 seasons in a day. But what inspired you to write Finnegan's Foursome, Ed?
So it's interesting. It came from a number of different places. And, you know, anytime I'm writing a screenplay, very rarely do I have one idea that, oh, this is the story I want to tell. I make character-driven films, and usually I start with characters. This was more starting with an incident. You know, about 6 years ago during COVID, my mom passed away. She was cremated. We couldn't have a service for almost a year. And finally, when we were able to have a service out on our church on Long Island, my dad wasn't really in any shape to think about what the burial might be. We figured we'd figure that out later. Because my mom was cremated, I had her ashes in our apartment in the city. So I told my dad, what we'll do is after the service, let's take my mom's ashes and we'll distribute them in all of her favorite places in New York City. My mom went to high school on 68th and Lex. She grew up in the South Bronx. Our first apartment was in Woodside, Queens. We were out in Long Island. So those were going to be the spots. Now, when you're distributing people's ashes in public places, we didn't ask for permission. So when we went to her church, kind of a funny thing happened, right? Like, it's me and my dad, and you know that it's an emotional and it's a sad day. And as we step into that church where my parents were married, you know, my dad was, you know, he was emotional. We walk down the altar and suddenly a priest appears. Now we can't throw the ashes because the priest is there. We don't have permission. So my dad says, look, I'll talk to the priest. When he turns his back, you grab a fistful of ashes, throw it on the altar.
Oh my
God. And that's what we did. All right.
Really?
Yeah. And we leave the church laughing. And I was
like,
that's the way my mother would have loved to have been grieved. Right. So I would say, you know, maybe 2 months later, as I reflected back on that day, I was like, okay, there's a lot in here I have to figure out one day to use in a film.
Sure.
And that sort of gave birth to part of the idea for this movie, where we take our father's ashes back to Ireland to be distributed in some meaningful places, including two golf courses, one of which was Carn. The second bit of inspiration was when my dad is a sicko golfer. He loves to play. At the time, he was 83 years old. So I said, I'm going to pick up this game to spend more time with him. The thing that happened that I did not anticipate was I became even more of a sicko golfer than him. As we were just discussing, I would play every day if I could. So my wife then, after about 2 years, asks me, all right, so is this now more important to you than your work? And I had remembered an old Martin Scorsese quote where he said, you know, it's the role of a filmmaker, storyteller, to make your passions, your obsessions as interesting as to your audience as they are to you. So I was like, all right, well, golf is my new love, my new passion. I'm a filmmaker, a storyteller. How am I going to marry those two? And that's kind of with all of that kind of brewing is how the idea of this film was born.
Wow. Well, first of all, going back to the church and, throwing a fast one at the priest or pulling a fast one at the priest. I mean, that's just a crazy story. I love that story. And, you know, Christy Turlington, your wife, just incredible model, gorgeous actress and model. I mean, she was being serious now. She put you to the test here with, you know, with the question about, you know, your passion for golf versus your passion for work. That was a serious question, don't you think?
I have to admit, part of it was in jest because I'm a workaholic and I write every day and I love to write. But part of it was, okay, you know, maybe it was after a day where I played, you know, I had gone out for 3 straight days. But when she said it, what it did was it sparked the idea of, oh, wait, why not sit down and write a golf story? So I have to give her kind of the credit for sort of sparking the idea of making a film about golf.
And marrying your two passions, which is perfect. I mean, there's nothing better, right? So how long have you been playing the game, and did your father teach you golf?
I have only been playing for 6 years. I played for a couple of years in the 90s, you know, after Brothers McMullen. I made a little money. I was spending a lot of time as a young actor out in Los Angeles. I got invites through a bunch of people out there to some tournaments and got to play some great courses. And I look back on that time and, you know, I was a terrible golfer. I had no appreciation of what an invite to Riviera meant. You know what I mean? Because I didn't know anything about the game. But this time, when I picked the game up 6 years ago, I made a costly error in that I didn't take any lessons for about 2 years, and I was terrible. And then finally, a friend suggested, what are you doing? Like, just take lessons if you love this game so much. And that just completely changed my game. And now, you know, it's, like I said, I think about golf every day. I'm reading something about golf every day. I'm listening to golf podcasts, including yours, you know, long before we met. So
thanks for that.
I just eat it up. I mean, I love it.
Well, to get a handicap like below 10, to literally have a single digit handicap in only 6 years is quite remarkable. So you're doing something right, for sure.
Spending a lot of time out there grinding, you know.
You're working hard at it. Well, golf has often been described as a metaphor for life, as you know. I write about that subject a lot. But what life lessons or themes did you hope audiences take away from this film?
You know, it's interesting. There are two things. You know, like I had a round maybe 3 years ago because I once I started playing, I lured my son into playing the game as well. And we were at a course that I'm sure you know, Montauk Downs, out on the east end of Long Island.
Oh, sure. Great public course.
Yeah. We played a late afternoon round. The sun was low in the sky. It was a little misty out. And I was with my dad and my son. All right, and we're walking down the 17th fairway, and you know, like there are those, it's kind of like magical little moments where just like you're at peace. I'm looking at my family, and we're all just having a good time. Nobody's on their phone. Everyone had hit a nice drive, and it was a special moment that when I was writing the screenplay, I'm like, how do I create that? You know, because it wasn't about hitting a great shot. You know, there's all those metaphors that we could talk about, like, you know, playing it as it lies and dealing with, you know, the hardship that the game brings you and integrity and honesty and keeping your own score. But this was a different kind of almost mystical moment where there was so much like just joy. Like we were just like a family at peace. So this is seen late in the film. We're on the 17th. We actually didn't shoot it on the 17th hole, I think, at Carn. But it's that par 3 at Carn where we bring out the old hickory-shafted club. And
sure,
afterwards, it's just like a little montage of the family sort of rolling their putts and giving high fives and walking off the course together. And that's what I tried to create. So whatever those things are that the game gives you, that's been my favorite part.
Obviously, yeah, the bonding and... You know, it's just a great experience, as you say, with your family and friends. And those family relationships are central to the story, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds so wonderful that, you know, so much of these moments in the film are based on moments from your real life.
Yeah. Well, it's also funny, you know, like once I started to write the script and I built out the framework of what the story was going to be, the fact that we would have this, you know, ongoing family tournament, you know, the Finnegan's Cup dating back to Ireland in the 1920s, and that when the movie opens, where the game is moved to the States, we're down in South Carolina, the old man dies. Once all that framework was done, I had to figure out, well, how am I going to build out these golf sequences that they'll be interested or interesting to not just golfers, but people who don't love golf. So one of the things, there's a great scene in The Natural, the Robert Redford film. It's early in the movie, and it's a scene where there's a challenge. Can Roy Hobbs strike out Babe Ruth? All right? And it's just a simple little sequence. But what it does is it sets up a challenge. We identify who the hero is and who the villain is. And the audience is immediately invested in, can Roy strike out Babe Ruth? There are no stakes. It's not a game. They're in like just a field. I forget why they were all there. And I thought, okay, that's the key for this movie. This isn't a professional golf tournament. This is a family golf tournament with four mid-handicap golfers with ugly swings. So I don't want anyone to think that this is like Tin Cup and we're, you know, that the stakes are real, right? It's just pride and sibling or familial rivalries. But I knew built into every shot, if I could set an obstacle or a goal, and that there would be very little just guys hitting the ball. Like it had to have something that a non-golf fan could be invested in seeing, like the long drive competition that my character and Brian Darcy, James's character, have as we're within the round. So that was helpful. The other thing is, as I started to go out and play with all of my friends, everyone has great golf stories, right? They have the story of the hole in one, or a crazy, worm burning eagle, or someone who was cheating, or just silly smack talk. So, I would have my phone with me, and I just started taking notes. And I got to tell you, probably a dozen of those stories I heard on the golf course ended up in the movie.
Absolutely. I mean, so many themes, overcoming fear. I mean, the female character had never really played golf before in real life, right?
Yep.
And she learned and had a pretty decent swing, right?
Yeah.
For not
yeah.
playing and having patience. And do you most relate to your character in the film? Or, what character?
Absolutely not.
Forsen, do you most identify with? Because, I mean, if you're like that, there's a lot of trash talking going around.
Oh, yeah. and
some anger there, too.
Well, it's funny. Like, we have all played with a type of golfer that I play in this movie. Like, I wanted the character I created for myself to be a bit of a horse's ass. He is the guy who's prone to throwing his clubs, snapping his putter over his knee, screaming and yelling at the ball, sulking. All of those things you hate when that guy shows up in your foursome. So I knew he would be the villain in our story, and I would play that part. So no, I am absolutely not that guy.
Good to hear.
I just kind of love being out there. If I have a crappy round, I have a crappy round. You know what I mean? So if anything, my personality on the golf course is a lot more like Brian Darcy James's character, who plays my brother in the film.
Right.
He's very even keeled and chill, and only when his obnoxious brother gets him too much might he throw a little smack talk back at him.
Who of the cast is actually the best golfer in real life?
Hands down, the kid who plays my son, an actor, Brian Muller. I met him when he acted in a television series I made a couple of years ago called Bridge and Tunnel. And I was writing the golf screenplay in between seasons 1 and 2 of that show. And he and I went out to play golf one day. And I told him I'm working on this script. This idea of a family golf tournament that goes to Ireland. And we're on the first tee box and he gets up. And I mean, that swing of his is gorgeous, and he bombs the hell out of the ball. And I was like, okay, Brian, you're going to be in the movie and you're going to play my son. So hands down, and golf in Ireland, and you know how gorgeous Carn is. When we were making the movie, on the weekends, or because it got dark so late in the day there, we were shooting in the summer, it didn't get dark till 11 o'clock, so if we wrapped at 6, we'd grab a quick meal and then go out on the golf course. The cast would go to play together, we laughed when we kind of called this a job, if you will, or work, because it really wasn't. But anytime we played, Brian Muller was hands down the best golfer of the bunch.
Right. And I had the chance to talk to Erica Hernandez, who plays your niece. Lovely, lovely. And Brian Darcy, James, just so much fun. Just a charming, charming guy. But a lot of your shots, you had some chip-ins. You had some, great putts. I mean, how long did it really take to get some of those really good shots filmed?
Well, it's funny. Erica Hernandez, who you'd mentioned, had never played golf before. But what we did with her is, when you're an actor, and you have a fight sequence, you work with trainers and choreographers to make sure you look like a fighter or a boxer or whatever it is. So with Erica, what we did was we knew before we let her hit a golf ball, we found her a teaching pro who would teach her the swing the way you would learn a dance move. So never thinking about contact, because we knew we could, through visual effects, do that later on. But if she could just learn the swing the way you would learn a dance sequence, it would look like, as you said, a pretty good swing for someone who'd never played before. Now, she would readily admit this, when we did have to have her hit the ball, immediately the elegant swing turns into, you know, you're looking to hit the ball and make contact. But to answer your question, I would say there are a handful, like what we did was, so there's a handful of like kind of amazing shots that we did make. But what we would do is we would just roll the camera and have a bucket of balls out of frame and just drop a ball, let's say in front of Brian Muller, as he would try and do, you know, that a hole out of chip from, you know, from 30 yards out. But he would get 40 chances to do it.
Hey.
And one of them would go and we'd go nuts. There is one funny story where the shot where we have the hole in one, we were trying, we knew that potentially how hard it would be to do that, right?
Sure.
So we knew we would probably do that with visual effects. But we figured we'd give the golf pro at Carton House, a guy named Liam McCool. I don't know if you know him at all, but
yeah,
great
sure.
guy, great actor. So we set him up on the tee box. And and the idea was our camera guys would try and catch his ball in flight and then do the pan down to the green. And let's see if he could at least get it close to a hole in one. And then maybe the visual effect is just the last couple of rolls or something like that. However, when you're shooting a film, we're using different cameras than they use to shoot a golf event. So it's much harder to track the ball in the sky.
Right.
And it's also harder to stay with it. But our operators were doing a great job. We were getting all of them. But then Liam hit one shot. The ball went up. We're tracking with it. I'm watching the monitor. The camera comes down. There's no ball. And then the entire crew goes nuts cheering. So Liam hit a hole in one, but we missed it with the camera.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And how often does that happen?
I know.
It's so hard
nuts.
For those who aren't golfers. It's so rare to have a hole-in-one. I'm like, God, you must have just kicked yourself.
Yeah, you know, the good thing is, you know, with visual effects today, we knew any shot that we wanted to create, we could do it pretty convincingly.
I know, right? Exactly. The magic of cinema, for sure.
Yep.
Well, what was it like filming in Balmullet and working with the local community when you were doing the shots at Carn?
I mean, first of all, you know, Jerry Maguire and Fiona at Carn could not have been more welcoming and gracious to us. They kind of, you know, anything that we needed, they just sort of bent over backwards to make sure that we would have the easiest time filming on that golf course. We also, you know, there's that scene in the film where the family dedicates a bench with the father's Lash 'Em Straight saying up there. You know, we knew that we wanted that to be like a substantial big wooden bench. When we finished shooting, I said to Jerry, I said, so, you know, let me know. I promise you we'll get that bench out of there, you know, when we wrap. And he's like, oh, no, please. Would you just please leave it up on that tee box? So I know it's still there today, which is pretty awesome because I've seen
you
on
know
Instagram.
How many pictures I've taken sitting on that bench?
Oh, really? So we
That's
stole that
priceless.
Idea because of the bench on Ballybunion. That I guess says close to heaven or CTH. So we kind of like the idea. So we did that. But the town of Balmullet was so great. We all stayed there while we were shooting. You know the bar, I'm sure, that we had our wrap party at. And,
sure,
you
McDonald's
know,
Pub.
Oh, my God. It was the best. So we had an incredible time. We did our own kind of trad session in the back room. You know, everybody in the crew, for the most part, can either play guitar or fiddle and sing. As you saw, my cast all have great voices. So we had a great, great night there.
Oh, my God. What a blast, really. So, you know, looking back on your trips, how many times now have you been to Ireland?
Well, I've been with my family a number of times, but I've worked there twice because famously down in Wexford is where we shot the D-Day sequence in Private Ryan. So I've gotten to shoot there twice, and it's kind of like we all remember in shooting that sequence how incredible the crews were. So I knew that would be true. Coming back here all these years later, and it was true. Our crew based out of Dublin was fantastic.
So what does Ireland mean to you?
Oh yeah,
as a golf destination.
Yeah. So, like I said, my mom's family was from Westmeath, Mullingar. So we had gone back. We'd gone to the family house a number of times, but that was all before I started playing golf. So once I get into the game, all of my golf buddies are like, you're Mr. Ireland, and you've never done the Irish golf trip. So I have a buddy, Joe Faunin, who his family's from there. He spent every summer there. He organizes these trips. He's like, Eddie, we're going to set up the trip. So I set up my first trip a couple of years ago, and we played Carn. And I'm going back on in a couple of weeks. And we're going to Royal County Down, Port Rush.
Rush. Where they hosted the Open Championship.
Yep.
Last year.
Port Monarch down in Dublin.
Oh, you'll love it, right?
Yep. And then we'll probably end up at Carton House because a couple of us are going to stay a couple extra days. And then I'm back in July for the Galway Film Festival.
They can't wait. The Carn folks cannot wait to go to that screening. I've heard from all of them. They're just so excited.
Great. So on that trip, where we screen on a Sunday, that Monday I'm going up to Carn.
That's awesome. So you're going back and hopefully kind of relax and just have fun, have a couple pints, and just play golf.
Exactly. It'll be very different to be on that golf course, not thinking about where the camera has to go.
Exactly. So if you could organize and play with any foursome, including yourself, in the world, who would the other three people be? I mean, who would your favorite foursome of all time be if you include yourself, and who would you pick?
I mean, it would be my dad and my son. My daughter and wife don't play. I have so many great golf friends that I would hate to exclude any one of them. But I would have to say my earliest sort of golf enabler was a guy named Billy Holt, who's still one of my best friends. We raised our kids together. And he's the one who kept inviting me out to some great courses, even when my game was lousy. And my dad considers him, another son. I would say that. I'd put my brother in there as well. As a potential fourth if Billy couldn't make it. But we have a healthy sibling rivalry, so sometimes those rounds aren't as fun as they should be.
I mean, that could be a sequel, I'm sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yep.
To Finnegan's foursome. Last question, Ed. Tell me about some future projects. I know you have a couple things cooking already.
Well, so interestingly, I go back to Ireland in August to act in a series called Greystones. It's 8 episodes shooting over there. I have a kind of another sports film that we're trying to get put together, which is called The Mighty Stags, which is a true story about the St. Agnes basketball team on Long Island in 1984, whose starting point guard was none other than Billy Donovan, who won a couple of national championships in Florida, coached the Chicago Bulls forever. So that's the next film we're going to try and get made.
I love it. You're always busy. It's such a pleasure to meet you in person, and we're definitely playing golf together.
Without a doubt, I can't wait.
You're my newest golf buddy.
I can't wait.
Ed Burns of Finnegan's Foursome, continued success, and say hi to all the folks at Carn Golf Club in Balmullet for me when you get out there.
I definitely will. Thank you, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Sports Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you by the Travelers Championship. Now is the time. This is the place. June 24th through the 28th at TPC River Highlands. Visit TravelersChampionship.com for information. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IB Cool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. And by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf.